The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. We begin with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just as he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I'm not going to do a children's sermon. Another teaching moment here. The name Jesus. What language is that? I'm thinking Aramaic, possibly Hebrew. Any ideas what the word Jesus means? What's that? Savior. He saves. The word save is a part of that name Jesus. So when we say Jesus, we say that God is our Savior. God is the one who saves us. Jesus. And Emmanuel, we all know what that one means. God is with us. Actually, that's going to be my sermon Christmas Eve, I think. All right, let's pray. Good, gracious Savior, we thank you that you come to us as a child born in Bethlehem, that you come to us in many ways through the workings of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for people in the Bible like Joseph, who became your son's earthly father. Help us to see the life of Joseph, to learn from him, to follow his example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we hear the Christmas story from Matthew. Is it a little bit different from the one we'll hear Tuesday from Luke? You're supposed to nod your head, yes. Matthew's Christmas story is very different from the one we usually hear at Christmas time from Luke chapter 2. Luke emphasizes Mary. Mary is the key figure in Luke's Christmas story. An angel comes to Mary. An angel tells Mary that she's about to have a child. Mary goes to visit her older cousin Elizabeth, who praises this little one inside her womb. Mary sings a song of praise to God in Luke's gospel. Matthew's gospel is very different. Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus, which goes through his earthly father, Joseph, and not through Mary. The angel appears to Joseph. Joseph is a righteous man. Joseph tries to be obedient to God. And Matthew describes Joseph as a kindly man. He did not want to disgrace Mary, even though that was his right. The law gave him the authority to shame her, but he did not. One might say that Joseph is righteous, but not self-righteous. In Luke, Mary's name is used 11 times in the first two chapters, Joseph 3 times. Joseph is mentioned in Matthew 9 times, Mary only 4 times. Mary has center stage in Luke's Christmas story, Joseph in Matthew's. Rhetorical question. You don't need to answer this one. Why do you think that is? Well, let me tell you. Luke was a Gentile, that is a non-Christian. And Luke was writing to primarily a Gentile, non-Jewish audience, whereas Matthew, a Jew, was writing to a Jewish audience. And so Matthew is going to be mindful of the Jewish faith, the traditions, the Old Testament. And the Jews took pride in tracing their ancestry all the way back to Abraham. And the society back then was patriarchal, which meant that men were in control. And so therefore, it was important for Matthew to talk about Jesus' father as Joseph, the man of the house. In Matthew, Joseph is the one to name the child, another right and responsibility of the man of the house. But in doing so, Joseph, by naming Jesus, claims this yet unborn child as his own. Now, honestly, these would be difficult things for a righteous person to do. The Jewish law told him to divorce Mary. The Jewish law told him not to accept the responsibility for raising this child. But rather, Joseph did what the angel told him to do and not follow the law. Joseph did what God wanted him to do. Later in the story, the angel will tell Joseph to take Mary and the baby out of harm's way to what country? Egypt. A long journey because the child was in danger by the Hebrew king Herod. There's an interesting little Jewish footnote here. God has Joseph taking Mary and Jesus to Egypt to fulfill some Old Testament prophecy. Hosea says, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." And so Matthew links the story from Hosea, "Out of Egypt I will call my son," to Joseph taking care of his wife and Jesus to provide protection for them in Egypt. Now, when God calls a person to do something, God typically has something in mind behind that call. And so perhaps that call from God to you is to be a life-changing event, not only for you, but for others around you. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph. He brought his family back from Egypt to live in Nazareth. He took them to Jerusalem for the Passover when Jesus was about 12 years old. And Joseph was a carpenter. And that's about all we know. We do know that Joseph was faithful to God, and that made all the difference to his family, to the world, to us. One commentator wrote that God used Joseph as a hinge on a door, the hinge of the door of history. Without Joseph, none of this Jesus story would have happened. God needed a godly man and a godly woman to carry out his work. Joseph was that man, Mary the woman. So why am I talking so much about Joseph? Because he's the main character in Matthew's Christmas story. Mary takes center stage most often in the Christmas story, but let's not forget about Joseph. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to Mary and to Jesus. He did not have to be faithful, but he was. Joseph was a quiet hero in the Bible. Now, the Bible honestly portrays some of the heroes very clearly. King David, the greatest king in Israel's history, had his faults. He committed adultery. And the Bible talked about that adultery openly and honestly. The same with Samson's foolishness. The Bible talked about how foolish Samson was. And yet God used David and Samson and others to change lives, people. The same Bible has only good things to say about Joseph. He was faithful. He did what God wanted him to do. We can learn from Joseph. The world would be a better place if we followed Joseph's example. Be faithful to God. Listen to God. Do what God wants you to do. Walk like Joseph. Now, walking with God like Joseph did does not mean that you will not have any troubles or pain or suffering in your life. Troubles and concerns will still be there for you, for me. But God will be there with you, Emmanuel, guiding you, protecting you, giving you strength, helping you get through the difficult times. American author Stephen Beck tells the story about crossing a narrow bridge on a country road. Picture a narrow bridge, one lane. We used to have a lot of them out in the country. Nowadays, you don't see them quite so often. On these narrow one-lane bridges, two cars could not pass each other. And so if there was a car on the bridge by the time you got there, you had to stop. You had to wait for the car to cross the bridge before you could go. And if you and another car got on the bridge at the same time, you would face each other bumper to bumper until one of you gives way and backs up. Beck told about coming to one of these bridges and seeing a yield sign. And as he crossed the bridge and got on the other side, he looked back in the rearview mirror and he saw there was another yield sign on that end too. Yield signs on both ends of the bridge. This reminds me of the story of Joseph. Because whichever way Joseph was going to go, Joseph was going to yield to God. He never insisted on doing it his own way. And once he knew what God wanted him to do, he did it. Joseph walked with God in obedience to God. And let this be an example for us to also be like Joseph, to walk with God, to be obedient to God. Three questions that I want us to ponder this coming week. The first one, are you really willing to listen to and to obey God? Do we actually take time to listen to God and to do what God says, which is the second question? Are you asking the question, what would Jesus do? Or in this case today, what would Joseph do if they were us in whatever situation is before us? And number three, are you willing to take God's path that He has in mind for your life? Are you willing to walk like Joseph, being obedient, yielding to God's will? Try doing that for a week or a month. Do what God wants you to do. Walk the Joseph path and discover what God can do in your life and through your life. Amen. Frank, I'll have you come up for the thanks to you, after which we'll receive our offerings under tithes.
Today we say thanks to you, and that you are the members of this congregation, for the ways you participate in and the ways you support our wonderful music ministry here at Salem. Music is one of the pillars of being a Lutheran. Even if it's not official, it's always there, ranging from the hymns we sing or the special music provided by various members of the congregation and special guests, the regular music leaders that are up here every Sunday, down to the youngest members in the Sunday school who share their talents. They're all part of that ministry. And music ministry is not just singing. It's also the talented people who play the piano, the organ, guitars, drums, trumpets, flutes, and even the occasional accordion I've seen up here, and all the other various instruments we're fortunate enough to hear. We're blessed with musicians at Salem that are both professional and those that just have a passion for music. And even though it may seem like that's all free, music ministry is really not free. Historically, we've had an organist and a choir director. Today, it's a little different. We have music coordinators, and all these talents, whether historically or current, do have a cost. Just like your car or your home, maintenance is required to keep going in the long term. You may hire the backyard mechanic for your car, or be a do-it-yourself or at home. But when you need to tune or repair a piano, maintain and repair that wonderful organ we have upstairs, you need a professional, and that's not free. And even if you look in your bulletin, in the fine print, there's a phrase, music and words reprinted under onelicense.net and a couple of license numbers. Salem has to pay a fee for that music too. Special music can have a cost, right down to those little microphone batteries that always seem to need replacing right in the middle of the service. Small as that might be, there is a cost. So, thanks to the time, the talent, and the support this congregation provides, we are able to enjoy the music ministry we have here at Salem. And again, that is thanks to you.